Jesus tells us we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we find a hungry person here in the gospel story. And as soon as I straighten out my notes, I will be able to coherently talk about this. Preach about the good word. Three comes before four. Maybe I'll just wing it. Okay. Well, Jesus is changing the lives of two people, Mary and Martha, in the story. And we're thankful he does that. He brings peace to their home. There was a little bit of chaos in the home, even with Jesus there. You're a Christian. Some chaos in your home. Some little conflict going along. Not paying attention to Jesus. You could still be a Christian and not pay attention to Jesus. But he is paying attention to you. So he works with Martha and Mary where they're at. And Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet. And she is listening to Jesus. Listening to what he is saying. And Martha is distracted from Jesus by all her preparations that had to be made. So Martha gets a little ornery about that. She somewhat bullies Mary in front of Jesus. Why don't you tell Mary to help me? Don't you care about me? Martha almost tries to bully Jesus, you might say, at this point. And Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care? And so often in our prayer life, we have that tone with the Lord. We're overwhelmed. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? And why, while you're at it, Lord, straighten out my sister so that my responsibilities and my load can be easier. Certainly Martha's a sympathetic figure because we can see ourselves in her shoes. And we want to see ourselves in Mary's shoes too, more often so. And so quite a story here. Jesus has hearing Martha say, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Tell her to help me. And the whole tone of Martha is not polite patience. It's not polite patience. Because Jesus addresses her and gives her some correction. It's important that we see that Jesus does not misunderstand Martha. Okay, Martha's not working really great and, you know, doing everything. And, oh, if Jesus would just understand her, everything would be okay. No, she has an attitude problem. Okay. She's serving very well, but her heart's not in the right place. And so sometimes it's not how much work we do or even that we do work. If our heart is not toward God and toward our dear sister who we don't understand, then it's not a very good service that we offer to God. And this can happen to any of us, whether it's from being in the home, being at work, even in the communion service. And, you know, as a pastor, many a sermon preached with Martha in the attitude seat of do. And dissatisfied with Jesus, Martha is, and chippy about her sister. So you might have come to church not satisfied with Jesus. You might have come to church chippy about your brother or sister in Christ. So in sympathy to Martha, however, the pressure is on. It's probably her house. The Bible says she was in Martha's house. So the weight of responsibility is on Martha's shoulders. She is a busy gal. And you're a busy person, too, with a lot of responsibility. No doubt about it. Three meals a day you got to come up with, or two, whatever you eat. But you got to make sure that it's available, it's prepared, and it's given to whoever's in the household. You got to take care of the pets or the people in your household. You have clothes to get ready. Okay. You have work that must be done and done well, or the house will fall apart, or your job will fall apart, and you'll be asked to leave. You have bills to pay. You have social media to check out once a day or every hour, depending on you know, where your heart is leaning there. But, and don't forget your church responsibilities. You have people who are sick that need visited. There's stuff in church that needs to get done. And there's older people who need to be taken care of, need to be checked in on. You have a lot to do. And don't forget your Bibles. And don't forget to pray a lot. Okay? And pretty soon, Martha's really, she's a busy gal. And so, no wonder we feel bad for Martha, because we look like Martha. Okay, we feel bad for Martha because we look like her. Lord, don't you care? Tell Mary to help me. And, you know, Mary, what is she doing? She is sitting at Jesus' feet. And she's listening to Jesus. What a change that's happening. Mary and Martha show up a little later in the Gospels on two different occasions. Once when Jesus raises their brother from the dead. So it's Mary and Martha and Lazarus, part of one family, maybe some more, but that's who they were. And even though Martha at that point was too busy for Jesus, Jesus was not too busy for Martha later when her heart was broken and her brother was gone. So you and I can know, no matter how we're treating the Lord, He's not too busy for us. He's willing to come and help us in our brokenness. So He comes to be with them. Jesus meets with Mary and Martha later, after Lazarus is raised from the dead by Jesus. They are at a mealtime again, and Martha is serving. That's what she's good at. Maybe that's her love language. I don't know. But and Mary is again by Jesus. And this time she takes a very expensive alabaster jar, I think it is, and breaks it. And the perfume fills the house, and she puts the perfume on Jesus' feet. And she wipes Jesus' hair with her feet. That's Mary again, being near to Martha. And apparently that perfume, you know, it was like a lifetime gift. Some Bible teachers say it represented 1 year's wages. So for you and I, it would be like, okay, this is for the Lord. $30,000 gift right here to you, Jesus. I've never done that. I've never known anybody to do that. If God leads you to do that, that's great. We'll say, Mary. Mary coming through there to praise the Lord. Yeah, it would be like a Bible pattern in there. But Mary does that for Jesus. Judas gets a little chippy about that. He says, hey, that could have been used to help the poor. And Jesus says, leave her alone. You should know, if you spend time with Jesus, Jesus will stick up for you. And when people get on your case, He will tell them, leave him or her alone. Okay. You can help other people anytime, Jesus said. So Mary and Martha, back to the mealtime. Jesus says to Martha, Martha, Martha. And certainly He had a relationship with her and did love her. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Mary has chosen the one needed. That won't be taken away from her. Mary makes a choice to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him. And sometimes we're near Jesus, but we really don't listen to Him. But Mary was sitting near Jesus and listening to Him. And Jesus confronts Martha a little bit. He says, Martha, Martha. A couple other times in the New Testament, Jesus repeats the person's name or the place's name. And usually it's in a confrontational manner. For example, He says to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He cared about them, but they were in the wrong direction. Martha, Martha, you're in the wrong direction. He tells the apostle Peter, after Peter said, I'll follow you no matter what. He says, Simon, Simon, the devil would like to get you, but I'm going to pray for you. And when you return, help your brothers. So, and then, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Again, there's a intense intimacy that God has when He gets a hold of our heart and says, you're going in the wrong direction. So So the Lord is being merciful to Martha, even though he's pointing her to a better way. And, you know, he wasn't so much confronting what she was doing, but rather confronting her attitude. Her actions weren't bad, but her attitude was bad. It is possible to do good things with a bad attitude. Okay. J. Vernon McGee said, if Martha would have sat at Jesus' feet, she'd have been a really, really good host. She probably would have worked harder, more energy, more peace in her soul. And if you sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him, you'll be a better worker. And you'll be a better spouse. And you'll be a better parent. And you'll be a better follower of Jesus. Because your soul will be the way it should be toward the Lord. And he'll be glad to share with you. And so, sitting at Jesus' feet, an opportunity that you and I have. It's part of what we do every time we come to worship. You have made the choice to come and listen to what Jesus has to say in the Bible, in prayer time, in song time, in fellowship, and sermon. Sit at his feet, listen to what he has to say. Also, the opportunity is for sitting at Jesus' feet in a quiet time at home with God, which is part of the sermon application that you and I can have this morning. Quiet time is when you stop everything and get God's word and say, I'm going to read and I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to say, just like Martha did. Quiet time with Jesus is better than exercising your serving gifts. Serving is very important. We all have to serve and do things. But without seeking first God and his kingdom and his righteousness, it's not going to turn out too well. So quiet time with Jesus, better than exercising your serving gifts. It's one of the things that even in our bulletin, if you flip through, you know, right in the middle, prayer is the primary work of God. You can't do nothing without him, that type of thing. It's a closeness with God. It's a listening to God. So you and I have that opportunity to be like a Mary, listen to Jesus daily and say, this is going to be time with God and this is going to help me. You know, he's the one. Even if he doesn't give me any particular assignment, being with him will be worth it. Quiet time with Jesus is better than sin. Certainly to neglect him would be sinful. If we have time for sin, we have time for a quiet time. Okay. So, again, putting God first disperses our rebellion and puts our sin nature dead to sin and alive to God. In my own life, you know, like all believers, sin problem is daily. But when I'm having a quiet time, I would have to say sin problem, other than my own distractions and lack of heart to God, sin becomes very, very out the door. Sitting, listening to Jesus. And the Lord's faithful to draw our hearts to himself. Psalm 86, sometimes we need help with this. Lord, give me an undivided heart so that I might follow you, praise your name, and serve you. Quiet time with Jesus is good because he is Lord of time and Lord of you. Every person here has a full plate, you know. But the one who provides the plate, the one who creates you, our primary gift and joy and treasure, of course, is the Lord. And so we put him first. He's Lord of our time. He's Lord of us. So it's a good opportunity, delight, and discipline. And it becomes, for Mary, I think, and for all of us, I would think that somehow along the way, nobody had to browbeat Mary to say, you should be sitting and listening to Jesus on a daily basis, you know. She thought Jesus was fantastic, and so she sat and decided to give her heart to him. Quiet time with Jesus shows God's all-sufficiency, highlights our spiritual poverty, and shows God as our heart treasure. Again, something we delight in the Lord. We look away from our sins, look to Jesus as our salvation and righteousness. So it's quite a thing to Ask the Lord to help us have a merry heart, as one book says, in a Martha world where we do things. But Martha could have a merry heart too, M-A-R-Y, merry heart. And to serve God, hearing from Him moment by moment, but also spending a quiet time listening to Him. When I was a young Christian, and to this day, I'm thankful people around me and those who kind of helped me follow the Lord always said, have a devotional time or have a quiet time every day. Every day. They trained me in that. And that becomes something I look forward to. They stopped harping on it because I thought, this is really good, reading God's Word and hearing from Him. And I have to tell you, as time went on, there are days that I skip quiet time with God because I think I'm too busy. I become Martha. Pretty soon my heart, while doing things, is not listening to Jesus. I'm just doing them. And I turn into Bob the unconverted. Okay, Bob the unchristian. You don't want to be around me when I have not had a quiet time with God for a while. God's still there. He's faithful. But I haven't listened to Him. And I'm ornery as all get out. And, not to the point of like total badness, but just the testimony, you'd have to ask Regina and Sean how's things in the home? Dad's crabby again, he's into the Martha, not just crabby, but you're not reflecting Christ. When we don't listen to Jesus, we don't reflect Him. It's pretty straightforward here. So Martha was having that problem. Mary had the opportunity. We want to ask God to make us like a Mary person. And I'd have to say, when I take time to have a quiet time with God, and it's all His grace. And if circumstances for some reason don't lend itself to that, to be aware of Him throughout the day. You got your radio, you got your available gospel pretty much everywhere around the corner, and God's wonderful presence to listen to Him. But the scriptures are very essential there. Ask the Lord to help us be a merry person, because a merry person sees Jesus as compellingly wonderful. God will speak to you. God will speak to you. And Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, will speak to you. It's quite a thing. Makes you wonder why we say, well, that's just something to get to when we have time to get to Him. No, I mean, He's a compellingly wonderful person, Savior and Lord. So we say, God, give me a heart after Yourself. A Martha person sees Jesus as someone needed for her agenda. This is easy to do. We often worship and serve a God who is more like us than God Himself. So we want to get away from that sin. Again, Jesus did not misunderstand Martha. Jesus knows Martha has a problem. God's Word says she is distracted. She is upset and she is worried and she is not listening to Jesus. So we can't use busyness as an excuse for not listening to the Lord. Okay, He's waiting upon us to make that choice like Mary did. A Mary person sees Jesus as her justification and sanctification. Lord, You will put me right with You, and Lord, You will help me walk with You. It's a wonderful thing. And a Martha person wants to make things and herself good enough for Jesus. Her soul is distracted, worried, and upset. This is often earned God's grace kind of experience, which doesn't make any sense at all. But it's easy to fall into that. And God understands that. I'm going to just be with Jesus at this time, honor Him, as opposed to doing something that perhaps He's impressed with or Mary's impressed with or something. But it's God can move us to Himself instead. And what a wonderful gift. You know, we ask the Lord to give you an undivided heart, to have a merry heart. Would you in 2020 sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him? Quiet time in the home. You go to church. Why do you go to church? I go to church to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him. That sounds like a good reason. It's a Bible reason. Ask God that you take that, you know, opportunity to be like Mary, have that heart, have that quiet time with God, and just make it an opportunity, make an invitation that God gives to you. And to read God's Word until He speaks to you. You know, what a wonderful thing. We all have access to the Bible. To read the Bible until we say, that is definitely God speaking. And He's telling me about Himself, and He's telling me how to trust and follow Him. You know, in certain parts of my life that need repented in and following the Lord about. So it's a great opportunity. Mary didn't walk away saying, oh, I feel bad. I should have been helping my sister the whole time. And Jesus said, she chose the one needed, and it won't be taken away from her. If you like something not to be taken away from you, it's Jesus, time with Him. Won't be taken away from you, because Jesus is seeking you out. So put your trust in Him. Have a merry heart. And when you find yourself being like Martha, be merciful to yourself. But please repent. Please repent, as God would give that correction to you. Let's pray together and know His goodness. Father, we come to Your table.